as we begin exploring here in a moment, multiple passages in Scripture, which will be starting with Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles with me, we're going to be starting there in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. And we'll be getting there here in about 5-10 minutes, but don't hold me to that. We will be getting there. If you have trouble finding the book of Galatians, once you find the Ians, you're good. I learned this when I was younger. Once you find the Ians, you're good, because as I was taught, God, Galatians, eats, Ephesians, pop, Philippians, corn, Colossians. That's the order of those books, and it comes right after 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So once you find 1st and 2nd Corinthians, just know God eats popcorn. Now that we've established this with no theological basis to establish this with, we can begin. Over the past several weeks, we've taken a slight detour from our regular schedule that we had set up, that, you know, me and Frankie had set down a while ago. We prayed over what is it that God is wanting to do through the preaching of the word. What is it he is wanting said to his people? And so we put pause on our series on the cause and effect of sin. We pushed pause on that to talk about something a little bit more relevant, which we've been doing these past several weeks, and that is, how do we navigate life here and now in today's world amidst the global crisis that we face with COVID and all the other crises we face? And the reality is, there's always going to be a crisis. There's always going to be a problem in this world. For the creation is fading due to our sin, and it will one day pass away. But we have this hope in Jesus Christ that even though this world will someday perish, a new heavens and a new earth is on the horizon. First, on this detour that we took, we first talked about trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts and how to lean into Him more and more as life seems to be pressing in all around us. Acknowledge Him in our day-to-day activities, because when we can truly acknowledge God in our day-to-day lives, we know for certain, when we can acknowledge Him, that He is with us. He is right there beside us. And we can talk to Him as if He is right there beside us. And He is with us, walking through the fire with us. And we can have the comfort of knowing He's walked through this fire time and time again with others. Second, we discuss the nature of two not so much used words. Two words not used very often. Was that better, Helen? Okay, good. Had to ask a teacher. Used very often in our language today, vigilance and diligence. You know, that we're called to be vigilant, watchful, ready, and prepared. But in this vigilance, we are to also remain diligent to the task at hand, using our God-given gifts, our God-given talents and passions for His kingdom work here and now, understanding that God has given us gifts, talents, and passions right here, right now, to use in the midst of the days that we face. Bringing us to the third week that we took this detour, which was last week, where we talked about the very power and a very precious gift that God has given us all, and the ability to remember. And how God has called us into remembrance of Him, and how we can have comfort and peace in just simply remembering who He is, what He has done, what He still does, and what He's yet to do. Taking us to this point today, where we're going to begin wrapping all this together into a nice cohesive practice to see how all these things work together for us to truly live out our lives of faith for Christ alone, in COVID and beyond. Because we should not just practice these things. We should not just trust in the Lord during COVID. We should always trust in the Lord and lean into Him. Not just during crisis, but all the time. We should always be vigilant. We should always remain diligent. We should always remember who our God is and practice these things every moment of every day, when life seems crazy and topsy-turvy, and when it seems wonderful, blessed, and amazing. We should practice these principles in all the time, good and bad. We must remember a very biblical principle that's taught to us. It's something that we've talked about in our Sunday evening study in one of our Right Now media studies we've done. What you feed in your life will grow. Or as the Bible will put it, you will reap what you sow. And let me tell you something. Sowing in the bad times will be a direct reflection of how the good times in your life will be. What you sow now, what you feed now, will be a direct reflection of what the future of your life will look like. What direction you will be heading. It is definitely the case that what you feed in your life will grow. And in other words, as the Bible once again says, you will reap what you sow. Now, living in an agricultural society here in the Central Valley, I'm sure I don't have to talk about reaping and sowing and explain what that means. But just in case, what you plant's gonna grow. How you tend to your fields, how you tend to your, well, here, orchards, will determine the good and bad of your produce. And if we would spend our days feeding hostility, anxiety, if we spend our days feeding our flesh strife, if we spend our days filling our hearts with the things that are not of God, we won't be living for God much longer. But if we would spend our days leaning into God, trusting in God, if we would spend our days relying upon the cross, if we would spend our days loving the things of God, remembering the things of God, there is a very bright eternal future for us in that. What keeps us from doing this then today? What keeps us from feeding the good things in our lives to make us want to feed the bad things? What keeps us from sowing the good things when we know what we should be sowing? And we shouldn't be sowing unsolicited seeds from China. Okay, I'm sorry I had to put that joke in there. I digress. What in your life are you feeding today? What in the midst of COVID have you been feeding? What is it in your life that you've been sowing? What are you sowing in the fields of your life? The Bible teaches us we indeed reap what we sow, starting in Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. And boy, isn't that the key there. Not giving up. Don't give in. For the eternal reward that awaits us on the other side of this life is worth all the pain, is worth all the strife, it's worth all the struggle that we face in this life. And we can also say it's not all bad. There are good times. There are mountaintops. There are mountaintops. But even on the mountain, even in the valley, let us always think of the principle that Jesus teaches us in Matthew when he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. You see, in particular in this passage in Galatians, Paul's talking about a particular thing. If you look at the context of the verse, you'll know what he's talking about. And he's talking about our generosity to others, our serving of others. That's why he says, do not cease doing good. He's talking about that, but honestly, this is a practice. This idea of reaping and sowing isn't just about our generosity to others, but it's about every aspect of our lives. And what we need to understand is, in every aspect of our lives, we're laying up a treasure somewhere. We're either laying up a treasure here on this earth, or we're laying up a treasure that is in heaven. God's present, but not yet kingdom. Because what we need to understand is the true reward for our faithfulness, the true reward for our labor in the fields, the true reward is yet to come. Sure, we get a foretaste of it now. We get a taste right now of this reward right here, right now. But we cannot give up understanding that God gives us that taste to sustain us, to keep us going so that we could push on to the great eternity that he has promised for those who put their faith, their trust, their hope, and live for him. This principle of sowing and reaping applies to our entire lives, and we see it applied throughout Scripture. In fact, Paul wasn't the one that came up with it. It's in the Proverbs. It's also in a book that many don't know of called Hosea, the prophet Hosea, found in the minor prophets in the Old Testament. In chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, we see this principle. And it's talking about how we live, and that we should live in righteousness, that we should sow into righteousness. Now, that's a fancy word we use in the church, righteousness. But do we really know what it means? You know, with a Christian worldview. To the world, righteousness means to be morally right or justifiable. But to the Christian, it means so much more. It means to be in a right relationship with God. That is simply what righteousness means, to be in a right relationship with God. Because we cannot be righteous on our own. We fail on so many levels to achieve righteousness on our own. This is why we needed Jesus. And that's why, when we can live in a right relationship with God, that we can find ourselves morally right and justifiable, because we are in relationship to the only one who is morally right and justifiable. He is the only one who is righteous. And he is the one we should point to and look to for our righteousness. And you see, we must sow righteousness in our lives, that seeking to live in relationship to God, as Hosea reminds us in his prophecy. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. However, this is where Hosea says what they've done instead. You've plowed iniquity, you have reaped injustice, you have eaten the fruit of lies. There are so many lies out there in this world today for us to eat of. There are so many things, so many other just sources of what we would call knowledge in our quarter, that's just that our culture, that's competing for our hearts, competing to take that precedent place that only Jesus should have. And you see, the people of Israel had eaten the fruit of lies, just like many in our world today are eating the fruit of lies. Because, he says, you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors. Now, I want to emphasize that last part, because you have trusted in your own way and the multitude of your warriors. In other words, they hadn't trusted in God. They hadn't leaned into the Lord for their reliance, for their peace, for their righteousness. And in fact, for their reliance and peace, they thought, okay, we're going to have a huge army, and then we're going to be protected from all sides. Because if you didn't know, during this time in Israel's history, it was full of war. It seemed like everybody and their brother, actually now I think about it, Israel's history's always been full of war. They've always had a story full of war. So they sowed in themselves, it says, and not in God. And verse 14 and 15 goes on to proclaim what happens to them. In particular, 14a says, therefore, the tumult of war shall arise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be destroyed. We can take all the precautions we feel we need to take in our lives. We can set up 401ks. We can do all these things, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm not condemning people for doing those things, for being prepared. God calls us to be prepared, to be vigilant. But if we are putting all of our hope and trust in our preparedness, we're going to fall short every time. And just like right now, where we see in our culture and in our world, the collapse of economies, the collapse of society that we are witnessing presently this day, if we put our trust into that, it will come falling down around us. But if we could truly lean into the Lord, lean into the Lord, sow into our relationship with Him, we will reap His eternal reward. Even though we may not experience it right here, right now, it is to come. It is to come. What you feed in your life will grow. What you reap is what you will sow. You will reap what you sow. Begging us to ask, whose way do we trust? Whose way are we sowing in? Is it ours or His? Bringing us to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verses 8 through 9, where we're taught this principle yet again in the Bible. You know, when the Bible says something once, you should definitely listen to it. The Bible, the Word of God, is trustworthy and true. But if it says it multiple times, we should stop everything and listen to it. Because if it says it multiple times, God is giving us that neon blinking sign that says, listen to this. Here's what the proverb says. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of his fury will fail. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. In reading this, we're brought back to the original question we first asked in beginning this exploration of God's word. What in your life are you feeding right now during the great pause that COVID has provided us and caused on us? What are you sowing in the fields of your life? Because what you feed will grow. What you sow, you will reap. What then is it that you're feeding? What is it that you're sowing? How can we be certain that we're sowing and that we're feeding the right things in our lives? How can we be certain that we're feeding the spirit and not the flesh? How can we be certain? Paul tells us. Paul actually shows us. He gives us one of the best simple examples of how we can know if we're truly living for the Lord or living for ourselves. It's also found in the book of Galatians. If you're still there, you flip the page over to chapter 5, and we could be reading 16 through 24, where Paul gives us the perfect test, a litmus test to tell whether we are living for Christ or ourselves. And it's through two lists, one known as the fruit of the flesh, the other known as the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what Paul says, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." The number one way that you can know for certain who's the master of your heart, is to simply do a fruit check. Do a fruit check. And this is something I feel as Christians we should do often. We should often do a fruit check and just examine our lives, and not by ourselves, but with others, but more importantly, with God. We should allow God to speak into our lives, to stop and just say, God, show me. Show me the fruit I am bearing in my life. Is it the fruit of your spirit, or is it the fruit of my flesh? Show me what it is that I'm reaping. Show me what it is that I'm sowing that's causing me to reap this. Show me what it is I'm feeding. And in times like these, it is ever more the time, with the great pause that COVID has provided us, to do a simple fruit check. And there are many other ways that God has given us to make sure we can know that we are feeding the right things in our lives, that we are sowing the right things in our lives. You know, for example, prayer, that active meditation of doing that fruit check. It's hard to have a relationship with someone if you never talk to them. In fact, it's impossible. If we really want to have a relationship with the Father, we need to make sure we're spending time in prayer. And if you have trouble doing this, I encourage you to surround yourself with people who are people of prayer that can encourage and spur you on in prayer. And that's a ticket right there. Doing it together. It is, as we said last week, where two or three are gathered, Jesus says, I am there with them. Pray with one another. Pray for one another. What about his word that he's given us? And it's not just about reading the word to get through the word. Even though reading plans are great, like the one that we have, as well as opening your Bible app and seeing the daily verse, it's great to do those things. Those are great starts. But if we want to really sow the goodness of God in our life through his word, if we truly want to feed the goodness of God in our life through his word, we must meditate upon his word. Don't read it just to read it, but read it to truly be changed by it. The word of God is intended to change us. If you go, ow, that hurt, that's God just chiseling away all the imperfections in your life through his word. And sometimes reading the Bible hurts. And that's a good thing. Reading the Bible can also be confusing, which is all the more reason why we should do it together. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses in God's church. To be able to take our confusion, to be able to take our questions, to be able to take our concerns to one another. And as I tell everyone, if you come to me with a question about the Bible, I jump for joy because I love talking about the Bible. And if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you. But here's the good news. We all know the one who does. And we can search diligently together in prayer for what it is that God is saying. When you read the word, ask, what does it teach you about God? What does it teach you about yourself? What does this show you about how you should be living? And don't just answer the questions. Ask the more important question to God. How is this supposed to change me right here, right now? And finally, there's another great way that he's given us to know that we can sow the right things in our lives. And it comes in a simple form of surrounding ourselves with that great cloud of witness. You know, and all these things we've mentioned, doing it together. And you might be saying, everything in the world right now because of COVID screaming, don't gather. Don't do these things. Everyone and everything is saying to isolate ourselves, is screaming to us to be isolated. And even now, as we still have to wear masks and we have to kind of still sit apart, we are all but isolated. But yet we're still socially distanced. But then God has gifted us with great things like social media to help keep us connected. Cell phones and phones to help keep us connected. Mail and email to help keep us connected. I think about all the Zoom Bible studies that have started up these past several months, not just in our church, but all the churches. I see these being advertised all the time. In fact, Facebook created a little box you can check to let people know it's an online event. And they have all these options you could set up to set up this online event. And it's one of those things where God has gifted us with so many opportunities to surround ourselves with the community and the people of faith. And this is also a great time, as me and my friend would say, to practice something we call the Great Purge. We cannot be mistaken, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." If you want to make sure that you're sowing the right things in your life, if you want to make sure you're feeding the good things in your life, the good things of God, be careful of who you surround yourself with. And when you go through your social media feed, you don't have to unfriend anybody, but if you ask that question, does this produce the righteousness of God in my life? Or does this post create anxiety or anger? And you could simply just unfollow. You could unfriend too. But we should be mindful of the people we surround ourselves with. Because the people we surround ourselves will be a direct reflection of how we will begin to live our lives. Do not be deceived, it says. Bad company ruins good morals. Now is the time for us to dive into these things in the midst of crisis, because what we do now will be a direct reflection of what will come in the future. How we feed our lives now, how we dig into Christ now, will be a direct reflection of how we will in the future. On Monday, we're going to be reading Joshua chapter 24 in our daily reading plan. There's a verse there that I just had to put in here. Joshua 24:15. When Israel was faced with this major life change, they had taken possession of the promised land. Everything in their lives was now going to change. They were no longer going to be wanderers in the wilderness, but they were going to have a place. They were going to have a home. They were going to continue to live in the purpose that God had given them. They were going to have fields that they didn't sow. They were going to have livestock that they didn't raise. They were going to have homes they didn't build. They were moving from the tent to the palace. Everything in their life was changing. Joshua gives them these words. And I'd like us to heed these words, because with COVID, everything in our lives is changing. Everybody keeps mentioning the new normal, the new normal. What's it gonna be? Here's the reality. We don't know what it's gonna be, but we know it will be new and different. And this is what Joshua says. "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father that you serve beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Because it's worth it. It may not seem like it's worth it right here, right now, but it is so worth it in the life to come. We need to be focused on that treasure in heaven and not the treasure on this earth. I think about the parable of the man who stumbles upon a treasure in a field. What does Jesus say he does? He buries it and he hides it and he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field. Would we live with such reckless abandonment for God's kingdom that we would consider all the things of this life as rubbish for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord? Leaving us with these questions. What in your life are you feeding right now during the great pause COVID has caused and has provided us? It's not all bad. This could be a very great opportunity for growth for us. So what in your life are you feeding right now? What are you sowing in your fields today? "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever." Amen and amen.